The bite of winter is in the air. For some, to be sure, this is cause for celebration. Skaters, snow lovers, people who crave the dark. There are probably more of us who want to be like the bears, hibernate and get up when it's over. And then there is that other cohort, getting larger every year, who just fly the coop, shamelessly, for the most part. Here is Paula Dunning.
I'm a snowbird. There. I've said it. It's not what I set out to be. My earlier migratory pattern pointed in only one direction, north. From Middle America to Southern Ontario, from there north to the district of Algoma, where toughing out winter is seen as a sign of character, pluck, and perseverance. My husband and I came here 40 years ago to combine farming with his day job. The farming lasted about a decade and a half. By then, we'd set down roots, or since it's birds we're talking about, built ourselves a pretty comfy nest. Snowbirds, of course, are those gray, sparrow-like birds with white breasts that hop around in the underbrush and flash their white tails in flight. Like most migratory birds, the snowbird, whose real name is dark-eyed junco, flies south for the winter, though south is a relative term. Dark-eyed juncos breed as far north as the Arctic Circle and winter from the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico. Here, at the very northern tip of their winter range, it's hard to tell who's coming and who's going. The snowbirds I see bobbing their heads and pecking at the ground outside my window in November may be summer residents preparing to leave, or they may be among the few hardier souls preparing to stay. I don't stick around long enough to find out, not anymore, because I've become one of them, reluctantly, almost shamefully. Reluctantly, because there are so many things I like about winter in the north. Wood fires in the kitchen stove, snow swirling against the window in blizzard winds, the tightening of cheeks and chin against the cold, the quality of light and shadow created by a sun low on the horizon reflecting on a white world, and perhaps best of all, the sense of suspended animation, a stretch of months when a blanket of snow conceals all of summer's unkept promises. A time of connection and contemplation, a season of short days asking little and long evenings asking less. I am not an idle woman, but I am one of those fortunate people whose work, after barn chores came to an end, allowed me to choose whether or not to venture out. I'm not a Pollyanna either. I haven't forgotten the frozen water pipes, the endless shoveling, the cars refusing to start, the painful cold of wet feet, the winter days that invade the April calendar. But poking through the discomfort, always a proud sense of entitlement. When spring came, I had earned it. What, says my hedonistic spouse, you need to earn spring? Can't it just be a gift? He speaks as the primary breadwinner who scraped the windshield and shoveled the end of the driveway before driving half an hour on winter roads, as the primary fix-it guy in the partnership who thawed frozen pipes and fussed with reluctant motors, and as a man who, it seems incontestable, has a biological thermostat with a set point quite different from my own. He suffers dreadfully from the cold. While I am opening my jacket and pulling off my mittens on a sunny winter afternoon, he is shivering under his many layers, and when I take his hand in mine, it is ice against my warm palm. And so, nearly 20 years ago, we began spending winters in a warmer place. At first, just occasionally, when my husband could arrange for a free winter. Just tourists, I assured myself, not snowbirds. Over the span of 10 years, we spent 3 winters in Guanajuato, a colonial city clinging to the edge of the mountains in central Mexico. When we were close to retirement age, we bought a small house there, and it has now been nearly a decade since I've earned spring. I still miss my winter days, braving the elements or cocoon beside the fire. My husband, trying to understand, says, let's stay home for a few weeks in January so you can have your fix. I just don't want to put up with months of it. And sometimes we do, but he misses the point. It's the putting up with months of it that delivers the prize. Sometimes I worry that I have allowed myself to be co-opted, that I have been unable to override his unequivocal preference for avoiding winter, that this is proof of my weak will and subservient nature. I also fret about the unconscionable extravagance of owning a home in Mexico, a violation of the same puritanical streak that requires me to earn delight in spring. That's the shameful part. I'm not sure it's right to be a snowbird. I fear my second nest will condemn me to Dante's fourth circle of hell, dedicated to the greedy. But here's another take. While I do miss my seasonal cocoon, I can't help noticing that, as later years eclipse middle age, cocoons can become straitjackets, seducing us with their promise of comfort and familiarity, holding us back from new experiences and late life adventures. I hear the voice of my yoga teacher saying, "Stretch as far as you can. Relax there for a moment. Then go a little farther." She reminds us that the older we get, the harder it is to extend our limits, and the more likely we are to stop short out of habit or fear, gradually shortening our reach until we find ourselves unwilling to move. She's not just talking about the cobra. I will migrate south again this year. I will leave the quiet, white countryside for the chaotic, colorful city. I will struggle to master a language and to understand the nuances of another culture. I will experience being the outsider. I may see my breath once or twice, but I will not shovel snow. And when I return, I will still wonder if moving directly from bougainvilleas to daffodils doesn't make me something of a freeloader when it comes to the joy of spring. But perhaps it's time, at this late age, to accept some pleasures, the first crocus poking through still frozen ground, the scent of an April morning, the fresh green of a May hillside, as gifts, pure and simple. No price to pay, no guilt, no strings attached. For the Sunday edition, this is Paula Dunning in Echo Bay, Ontario.